You're listening to Rosie on the House.
O'clock hour, first Saturday of the month. Means we're talking farm fresh. We got Julie Murphy, spokeswoman for the Arizona Farm Bureau, joining us in studio to talk about, you know, what we try and do in this hour is tie in what local commodities are coming off fresh from the farm, real time in that month. Now, there's sometimes where things aren't necessarily seasonal.
Yes.
And barbecue would be one of those.
Exactly. Good morning, Romy.
But May is National Beef Month.
Yes.
More beef is eaten on Memorial Day weekend than any other single weekend during the year. That's more than the 4th of July, more than Super Bowl.
Good little fact there.
So we thought, well, let's talk barbecue. And barbecue isn't necessarily tied to just pork or just beef or just chicken. In fact, all of those together, when you look at Arizona's ag wheel, a $23 billion industry wheel for Arizona, 48 million of that is pigs and hogs, 677 million of that is cattle and calves, and not necessarily tied to barbecue, but tied to the cattle industry, 721 million of that is tied to dairy. So this is a pretty big representation for ag in Arizona is barbecue.
And I'm glad you picked it for this month because, you know what, when it comes to barbecue, even though it might be in a way it's seasonal too, because a lot of the barbecuing really starts in the spring, but we can do barbecue every month of the year because we've got some good beef producers, some good pork producers. We've got some real quality meat that we're raising right here in Arizona.
And we're going to talk about it with Julie Murphy and your special guest. I'll let you introduce.
Yes. So I solicited Tim Dunn. He's a lifelong resident of Yuma, and he operates a family-run business. His company name is Dunn Grains, and he specializes in selling grains and exporting crops like garbanzo beans, black-eyed peas, Sudan grass, and wheat. And by the way, he just happens to be a state representative for District 13 for here at our legislature. So he's wearing many hats, but today we're going to quiz him a lot about being a barbecue competitor. Tim, welcome.
Good morning. How are we doing today?
Good. So when I think of all the things that you do, especially farming, and that's a 24/7 job, how did you find time to be a legislator and then on top of that, in your spare time, be a competitive barbecuer?
Well, cooking is my passion, so we do that for our family, and just learning how to do that, you do what you like, and then you just turn that into a competition.
And when did you start the competitions, and where have you gone with them?
I believe we started about five years ago. The furthest one I've been to is probably Dana Point in California. They have one right there. It's a beautiful location. That's pretty big. It was a California competition there. Done them here locally. Barbecue Showdown up in Sholo is a great event. It's actually going on this weekend, and I'm missing it.
Well, so what strikes me, though, when I think about all the things you've done, including having more than one business, the main one being Dunn Grain Company, but how did you, splice this in with everything else you're doing? Because competition raises barbecuing to a whole new level. It's not only, you're not just doing this for family, you're right in the middle of it for competing.
What started it is when I visited my cousin back in Mississippi. We have a family that has a large farming operation in Mississippi, and my cousin Travis Dunn, he does competitions like Memphis in May, and they're a different style than the ones I do out here with the Kansas City Barbecue Society. But he was really getting involved in cooking in those competitions, and so I learned. That's kind of what started it all. 6 or 7 years ago is just looking for a smoker and just kind of starting to smoke meat and doing it as a hobby. And then him competing kind of sparked my interest in looking into competitions. And the Western competitions are different. There's not as many as there are in the South. I mean, South is, there's a barbecue contest every weekend you can go to. So it's easier for him. But that's just kind of kick-started that, is when I visited with him and started watching what he was doing.
And you were already a cook. You know, you said something the other day when we were visiting about this. You said everybody has their hobbies, and especially in farm and ranch country, some of the hobbies are roping. They've got their big roping outfits, and they've got trailers and stuff. Well, I guess the same thing happens with barbecuing.
Not for everybody, but that's how I rolled into it. Is, you know, we started doing competitions and going. You take your smokers to a competition, and then you try to take your fifth wheel, and you know, try to, because you have to cook all night long. And so, my fifth wheel, my camping equipment, wasn't quite suited for showing up to the confined spaces of a barbecue contest. So we went and ordered a trailer that has basically, it's a catering trailer, 22-foot stainless steel inside. It's got the triple rinse sinks. It's all set up for like a food truck trailer. The back opens up for the smokers, so the smoke goes outside, and put my barbecue equipment in it, have all my tools, refrigerator. And so like I told you the other day, you know, if I was a horse, if I was roping, I'd have a horse, and I have a horse trailer. I'm a barbecue contest, so I have my grills, and I've got a barbecue trailer.
That's funny. You know, shifting gears a little bit, tell us about the family farm and how your family started and how long you've been in Yuma and all that fun stuff.
Well, we started up in Central Arizona, came from Texas. My grandfather had cousins that farmed in Pinal County. We farmed in Pinal County, moved here. My uncle did in the 40s. My dad moved here in the early 60s, and I was born here in Yuma. So we've been here for a long time. My friends here in Yuma say, you know, I'm a latecomer. They've been here since the turn of the century, but we've been here since farming since the 60s. Still have family that ranches up in the Central Arizona, up in the Globe area. But we've been here since the 60s, farming here in the Gila Valley by the just. Basically, if you're driving through town, that's right below the Arizona Western College in the Gila Valley.
You know, one thing that you and I have always talked about over the years is how much you like to grow things, that you're always trying something new. What's the latest, so to speak, especially with a farm?
You know, since I got out of college, we've liked to do the specialty crops things. You know, we grew produce. Arizona's known for its lettuce. I grew lettuce when I first came out of school. Then we started our grain company and started looking for specialty crops, and then was farming statewide. And so with that, we switched gears from growing produce. So I was looking for a complementary crop that would help other growers like myself and other growers in Yuma. So that's when we started looking at black-eyed peas, garbanzos, and specialty durum wheat. So these things complement the produce rotation. So we've been doing that over the last 20 years, 25 years since we've been in business as a grain company. So we have the farming operation and the grain company. So we're still looking at new things. One of the sesame seeds has been here before. We've been trying to grow some sesame seeds. We got a Japanese firm is trying to source sesame out of Arizona to ship overseas. They ship a lot of sesame oil back into the States, and so they're trying to originate sesame from the States so they can ship Arizona, United States sesame back into the United States as oil. So we're working. That was a crop we've been working with the last couple of years.
And, you know, you've made a name for yourself with Dunn Grain. In fact, it traveled all the way to New York, and some Hasidic Jews did. Do I have that right? Where they wanted you to do grain that was, for religious purposes. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, one of the specialty crops we do is wheat for matzah for Passover. So the Hasidic Jews, they're the ultra-Orthodox, the most strictest of the strict in the Jewish religion, are in New York. And they have Jewish rabbis, and they have bakers that contract with their synagogues. And so they were looking, they have to buy wheat for their matzah, and they buy it all over the East Coast. But what makes it for matzah for the Passover is that it has, from the time that the wheat is viable and is ripe, it can't have any moisture or rain on it. And obviously on the East Coast, you get rain in the summertime and right closer to harvest, so it's tough for them. So one of the companies came to Arizona about 10 years ago looking for or a dry climate. We were very well known for our wheat. So we've started working with them. We've done it every year since then. And so we put our last irrigation on this week. We've got the baker and some rabbis will be showing up next week to look at the fields to determine if we need one more irrigation or not. It's right on the edge. So they'll look at that. Then between now and then until we time we harvest, they will hire a company that is Jewish based that is certifies the seeds, and they will monitor it 24/7 to make sure there's no rainfall or any adulteration to the crop until we harvest it. And then they will bring rabbis out when we harvest. They will inspect our combines, they'll inspect our seed cleaning equipment. Even though we know what we're doing, we understand, because we're in the seed business, we understand how to keep things clean, but they verify the process, go through and determine that it's kosher in their eyes, and give their stamp of approval. Their grand rabbi will fly out. They will go through the process of verifying everything with all their inspectors, looking at everything, and then they'll commission us to harvest, and then we have to harvest during the day, you know, so I can, you know, there's a lot of things to it, but basically it's if you go into the Old Testament, it's unleavened bread and there's no moisture. And so and then we have to get the harvest in the storehouse during the daytime. So we can't harvest after night, you know, we have to do it during the daytime. So a lot of things, if you go back in the Old Testament, that is they're following.
To me, it's a special story because they even, you know, there's the process of the blessings and things. And it really also highlights how versatile we are with our agriculture, and we can accommodate these special, unique situations depending on what's required and what your customer wants. So I've always loved that story when you share it. It's pretty.
It's you know, our it's a niche product, and for our facility to be able to do it, the reason is because we're in a seed company, so we know how to keep things separate. We know that we make sure we don't commingle things, and then we're also certified organic. So we know how to do the process of keeping things separate for the organic food process and food safety. So things, you know, our
perfect.
Food is safe in our chain, in the food system, but not every system is allowable to work on smaller niche products in each company. So our company is
pretty special.
To be one that
we
do that.
We're going to cover a little bit more on the barbecue in the next break. Thanks, Tim.